KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 9:02. The latest numbers for HIV and AIDS in Alaska are in, and state health workers say non-white ethnic groups remain at a higher risk for the disease. In all, some 1,500 Alaskans have been diagnosed with the virus since 1982. In the last year alone, nearly 60 new cases were reported in nearly every part of the state. About 9 out of 10 cases were reported in men, and 2/3 of the new cases were found among African Americans, Hispanics, and Alaska Natives and American Indians.
There's HIV everywhere, so you always have to be cautious.
That's Susan Jones, the HIV and STD program manager with the state. She says only one case was reported in northern Alaska last year. Despite the singular new diagnosis, she says all newly reported cases of HIV share similar high-risk behaviors like meeting partners online anonymously.
There's high-risk sexual behavior that's happening, and there are some cofactors that go along with some of this high-risk sexual behavior, such as using drugs and alcohol.
Jones says those with the disease increasingly have access to better medication that allow them to live longer than ever before. Still, what's surprising about the latest data is the number of cases in young people.
There's some younger folks being identified with HIV in the 15 to 24 age group. I think that also is something to take away, that, you know, it seems to be in a lot of different age groups.
Above all, Jones says, to prevent the spread of the disease, it's important to get tested.
Don't believe that it can't happen to you. You know, if you're a sexually active individual and you don't know if the person that you're having sex with has any sort of infection, you should be tested for those infections.
For access to testing and other resources, visit iknowmine.org. That's iknowmine.org. And the 90-day legislative session was scheduled to end yesterday, but lawmakers continued to work past midnight, unable to reach agreements on key education and budget issues. Clearing budget hurdles could serve as a vehicle for additional education funding. Today, the House and the Senate plan to reconvene to try and reach resolutions on those issues. The House and Senate have both taken different approaches to education funding and other education bills as well. The House did pass a gas bill late Sunday night, sending a plan to the governor's desk that would give the state partial ownership of a gas line that would run from the North Slope to Kenai. The bill passed 36-4 and is similar to one passed by the Senate last month. It establishes a partnership between the state and the private sector for eventual construction of a natural gas pipeline. The Alaska Development Corporation will be in charge of the project, but ExxonMobil, BP, ConocoPhillips, and TransCanada would all own a share of the final line. The state owns a 25% share in TransCanada's portion of that line. AGDC President Dan Fausk says the corporation will continue to advance another standalone alternative project while also pursuing this initiative. Opponents of the legislation say that if the project fails, the state would have too much financial responsibility for TransCanada's share of the project. The project would also include several offtake points to provide natural gas to Alaskans around the state. KTUU reports that the project now moves into the early engineering and design phase. Current timetables say construction could begin as early as 2019. And the Alaska legislature also passed a bill symbolically recognizing 20 Alaska Native languages as official languages of the state last night. Supporters of HB 216 staged a sit-in at the Capitol on Sunday, the last day of the session, urging lawmakers to take up the bill. Due to this being the second year of this legislative session, any bills not passed by the end of session will officially be dead. Supporters filled the Senate galleries waiting for the bill to be taken up. They stood during the debate and applauded following the vote, which came just after 3 a.m. this morning. The bill prompted emotional testimony in committee hearings. Senator Fred Dyson, who carried the bill to the floor, said this was a way to show respect for Alaska's indigenous people. And many people think ticks cannot live in Alaska due to the cold temperatures, but one state veterinarian says that's not the case. Some ticks, such as hair ticks, have always survived in the state, but non-native dog ticks may also have been found in Alaska. That's raising concerns for dogs, wildlife, and the risk of spreading certain diseases to people. Kimberly Beckman of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Fairbanks told the Fairbanks Daily Newsminer that ticks on small mammals like snowshoe hares and squirrels and birds, are endemic to the state. In the past 3 years, Beckman says she's also found at least two types of non-native dog ticks surviving in Alaska. Ticks carry diseases such as Lyme disease that can be transmitted to people. Dog ticks also pose a risk to moose and other wildlife. And speaking of wildlife, as the temperatures warm, large animals on the Seward Peninsula are getting ready for spring. And as they do, it's becoming apparent that this year's mild winter affected some species more significantly than others. Tony Gorn is a wildlife biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and he says that brown bears in the region are leaving their dens right on schedule.
Yeah, bears are starting to come out, and fits the normal pattern. A lot of the bears coming out in, mid-April and then all the way to the end of May.
In spite of the warm winter, bear behavior looks to be normal so far, though ADF&G's data from aerial surveys isn't fully compiled yet. The number of moose in the region also appears to be holding. Like the bears, they've made out okay in this mild winter. That's not necessarily true for muskoxen, though. The herd on the Seward Peninsula has been in steep decline since 2007. Every 2 years, ADF&G systematically flies over huge tracts of land to get an estimate of how the population is doing. But this year, the department had to cancel its survey before it even began.
Just because we had very little snow, the background, the country was mottled black and white. The muskox groups were really, really hard to see.
But while the weather was bad for biologists, it may have been good news for the animals themselves. With shallow snow, Gorn says the foraging muskoxen could stick to lower elevations instead of climbing up to higher windswept hills.
The distribution of muskox groups was a lot different this winter than it has been in the past. So you saw them real low elevation. They weren't high yet. And we just didn't have the snow that kind of regulates where muskox are going to spend the winters. So I think our muskox might get away with having a good year.
Caribou may not be so lucky. Officials that have been flying all winter report that there's ice covering much of the land that the Western Arctic caribou herd graze on during their migration. That means the animals will have to expend a lot more energy just to get at their food. But Gorn says that if spring weather melts the ice soon enough, the animals should get a reprieve. And the Northwest community of Deering may be small, but the village of about 130 people is gaining national attention in a competition for school mascots. The Deering Northern Lights are in the running for a national championship of nicknames and already have got the top vote in a poll by USA Today over high schools from Alaska and five other western states. The Anchorage Daily News says online voting for the national championship opened last week and ends this Friday at 10 a.m. The Centralia Orphans of Illinois are the defending national champions. They're back again this year. Last year, the Northern Lights garnered a regional win for best mascot. Altogether, 10 schools are in the running for a $2,000 cash prize. All voting is done online at contest.usatodayhhs.com. That's contest.usatodayhhs.com. And taking a look at the price of gold this hour in New York, gold prices were faring a little better, down only $7.30, trading at $1,288.30 an ounce. Silver down 30 cents to $19.45 an ounce. And Alaska Airlines Flight 151 remains on time, expected to leave Anchorage at 10:10 this morning and land in Nome at 11:41. It's unofficially 48 degrees, rather 38 degrees outside the KNOM station, 11 minutes past 9 o'clock. Good morning.